Take your Bibles, turn it to Matthew 26. I was praying when Pastor asked me to cover the service tonight, asking the Lord what I should preach and what to lead me to the passage he wanted me to preach. And in chapel the other day, Dr. Beal mentioned the preacher boy outlines at school that all the preacher boys are supposed to write, and said that they were very good. And that kind of reminded me of that outline that I did several weeks ago, and the Lord led me to preach this outline or this sermon to you tonight. So Matthew 26, and if you're there, if you'll look in verse 52, and it says, "Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" This semester is my first time being in the dorms at school in a couple years. And one of the challenges in the dorms is getting your hair cut. Sometimes your hair grows out, and then you got to find somebody to cut your hair, or you can just cut your hair yourself. And that's what I did. I cut my hair myself, and looking in the mirror, it looked just fine. But there was one problem. I still had to cut the neckline back here, and you know, I don't have eyeballs in the back of my head to see my neckline and to be able to cut that nice and straight. So I had my trimmer and I would try it, and then I would take my phone and take a selfie back there, look at it, and of course, you know, it looked like this, like, you know, crooked. It was pretty bad. And I, okay, went back at it again, tried a second time, and, you know, tried it again, and the line was higher up this time, and it looked good. Then all of a sudden, oh, bad. There's another nook in there, and I retried about three or four times. And by this time, you know, by the fourth time, I think my neckline is already pretty high up there, because you have to restart over, and finally, I just said, okay, I have to stop. I just have to stop. And I went into my room where my roommate is, William Brawley, and I said, okay, take my trimmer, please fix this. And he cut the line straight, and it's a little high, but at least it's not, my neckline is not above my ears. But you know what, so often, you know, in the Christian life that we walk, sometimes we come across a lot of challenges, and we come across a lot of things that hurt, that things that we may perceive to be injustices, that are wrong, and they may be wrong. And when we look at this passage, and it was just a couple verses, and this is a passage where Peter cuts off the chief priest's ear, and the Lord rebukes him and gives instruction, and you know, prior to all this, Jesus keeps on telling Peter and his disciples, I'm going to be buried, and then I'm going to be raised up again. But you never really see them quite connect. They always you saw fear. And with Peter, you think back when the Lord again told him, the Son of Man is going to be, killed. He's going to rise up again. He's going to come back from the dead. And then Peter takes him aside and starts rebuking the Lord. And the Lord says, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. And Peter, and if you put your, you know, you, if you in the disciples' shoes, some of our responses would be the same. We wouldn't understand. We may not understand. It's like, you don't deserve to die, Lord. Why should you die? That's wrong. These people that are wanting to kill you are wrong. They're hypocrites. You said yourself, they're hypocrites. Why should you die? No, I'm going to defend you with my life. And then in these verses that we read, this is Peter acting on that, saying, no, I'm not going to let this happen. And a lot of times, the same thing can happen in our lives. What God allows just in our own personal lives, and maybe just on a broader scale in a church's life, maybe in a country's life, an international scale, doesn't seem right. It seems wrong. And sometimes we don't understand, and we get up in arms. And like Peter, we take up a sword. And sometimes we can come to trusting ourselves and seeing how can I figure it out? How can I save the day? And sometimes we can become angry. And sometimes we can get bitter, and it throws us for a loop. But looking at this, when Jesus says in verses 52 through 54, I see three things in these three verses that the Lord encourages Peter, his disciples, and instructs us tonight, that we should not trust in ourselves, that we should put away the sword. We should put away trusting in our flesh and trust the Lord. And first of all, verse 52, we read, then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. First thing that we see is when we use the sword, when we pick up the sword, that's not God's lifestyle. That is not what God intended for us to live. Our Christian life is totally based on trusting the Lord. Our faith in Him. And when we take up the sword, we are trusting human resources rather than God. We start getting anxious because of the situation. We start trying to figure out how can I subvert this? How can I make this better? Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And that's really the question, is how often do we remember the name of the Lord our God? Who He is? Living with us, being with us every day in our life, or do we sometimes just think about more often of the chariots and horses? How many chariots do I have? How many horses do I have? Or do we remember the name of the Lord our God? But also, secondly, it's in using the sword is not God's lifestyle. It's not parallel with the message of the gospel. The good news. We've all been saved, but when we go out in the world and when we live amongst each other, do people see that? Or do they see this root of bitterness in our hearts? Something eating us alive when we should be showing that we're set free. Titus 2, 7, and 8 shows some things of how we should look. How the gospel should be changing us, how the gospel should look through our lives, and all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity or genuineness, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. But not only is it not parallel with the message of the gospel, it's, in this case, it's an angry lifestyle that demands you also die by the sword. You know, the word in here, that take the sword, that word, it literally means just to a distinct action in the past to pick it up without any indication of really letting it go. And those who, and in correlation with the main verb, shall perish, it's saying it gives indication of those that are going to destroy their lives, that are going to die by the sword, took up the sword and lived by it. And it destroyed them. But also, secondly, let's look at this. We saw using the sword is not God's lifestyle, but also using the sword disregards Christ's power. We mentioned Psalm 20 and verse 7, and just how often do we remember the name of the Lord our God? How often do we think about our Lord? You know, before he ascended into heaven, we read Matthew 28, verse 18. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. He's been given all authority. He has all power. And sometimes it can be so hard to remember our Lord. Sometimes it's so hard to just fully grasp and fully trust the Lord in situations that are hard, or we think that are just unjust. But the greatest thing about this passage is after he says, all power is given unto me, later on in verse 20 it says, and lo, I am with you alway. Are we taking advantage of that? Are we going to him in prayer instead of remembering the horses and chariots? Are we remembering the Lord our God? We got to remember that after he said this, he ascended into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the same Jesus that Stephen saw while he was dying as a witness for Christ, saw him standing at the right hand of the throne of God. And he's still there right now. And he's going to come back and get us. And then we're going to come back to this place one day. He's going to set all things right. He has all understanding. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, isn't that a good thing that God doesn't think like us? That in this case, when we look at this passage, verse 53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Listen, Peter, I can take up the sword too. I can save us out of this situation. But that's not the plan. That's not the plan. And Peter didn't quite get it, but you know what? Christ's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. We have to understand he understands it all. And instead of trying, like Peter, trying to fix the problem, we need to trust him. Know that he has all power, has all authority. He has 12 legions of angels that he could send. But he doesn't always do that. Sometimes the best way is to not do that. And isn't that a good thing? Because we wouldn't be children of God tonight if he didn't go to the cross and die for our sins. But lastly, look with me in verse 54. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Lastly, the using the sword is not God's plan. If using the sword is not God's plan, then what is God's plan? What are we supposed to do right now when we come up against issues, when we see things in the news that are hard, when things happen in our families? You always see Christ return to the scriptures, but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? If I call those 12 legions of angels, then how is the word of God going to be fulfilled? God's plan is his word. Are we taking advantage of that then? Are we seeking him? Instead of figuring it out in our own ways, taking up the sword, are we instead going to the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and seeing what he has to say about something, about the strained relationship that we have? What does God say? What is the biblical way to resolve that? How am I supposed to respond to the higher authorities in my country? What is the biblical way? Should I take up my flag and stand my ground and raid the Capitol building? Or should I see what the Word of God says? God's plan is his word. But God's plan has to be fulfilled. You know, this world is going to take its course. You know, we went not too long ago, we went through the book of Revelation. Pastor took us through the book of Revelation, and it just always strikes me, the world is going to go on its course. And are we supposed to freak out while we're still here? Because things, it looks pretty bad in the book of Revelation. But we're here to be faithful. And before he left, he gave us a great commission. He gave us his word. He gave us his spirit to make a difference. To not take a sword. Sword of flesh, but the sword of spirit. But God's plan has to be followed. It has to be followed. And I couldn't help but just look at that one song that we had, that we sang earlier, and just the chorus, "So 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er, even despite the circumstances. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more. Not our own understanding, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But oh, for grace to trust him more." And tonight, let's be bold. Let's be bold to come into the throne of grace and to find help in time of need. And just recognize and remember the name of the Lord our God. Instead of remembering the chariots, instead of remembering the horses, remember the name of the Lord our God. Let's pray.